Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravo. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today to celebrate 20 years of Real Housewives, it's the one and only Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hi. What's going on with you? Woohoo!
Woohoo! I'm excited. It's a new season of A Real Housewives. This is our vacation week, but we had access to the screen a little earlier, so we decided to record this premiere ahead of time because it's too important to scuttle on vacation week. So we'll just pretend like we're recording it on the proper day that it came out, to which I say, I can't believe they just did that thing on Love Island last night. When she did that thing, when What's-Her-Face did that thing to him, I was like, what? And then he was like, no, but I really am into you. I was like, what a dick, right?
I quit it. It's like, bye. Bye, Love Island. I quit you 2 weeks ago. Bye. Hate ya.
Oh my God. And in the city this week, that was crazy when Kenny was acting all manosphere. And then Lindsay was like, who do you think you're talking to? I was like, yes, Lindsay. Yes, queen.
It's so crazy that Kyle and Amanda got into a fight. I never saw that coming. Whoa.
Oh my God. What a wild time. And on the Valley, I just was so happy that the Valley finally had an uplifting episode. I was like, we waited all season.
Wow. That's really,
so what a week.
That's really putting some psychic energy out there.
What a week on Bravo. No, but
let me tell you what happened actually in the past, which is today for you guys. I had a visit. A couple things happened. First, I had wasps in my house and I got stung by one, which
I guess is Connecticut.
It was Heather and her mother. And then I got a ding dong at my door and I was like, you know what? Why yell at people through the Ring camera today? Why not be a decent person? I just got stung. Let's see what they're selling. You guys, they're selling Jesus. Okay, I got this pamphlet.
For eternal happiness.
You are invited to attend Eternal Happiness 2026 Convention of Jehovah's Witnesses. And I guess, I don't know, I guess that's not Jesus. Is that Jehovah? Jehovah's hot too, I have to say.
Isn't like Jehovah good Jesus? Looking.
Is he?
I don't know.
I've never been to a convention. His hair is shorter.
Do you want to stop celebrating holidays? Because that convention would be the one for you.
Future drama. The good news according to Jesus. Watch Jesus teach the crowds to find a convention near you. Guys, this is July 3rd, July 4th, July 5th. People are going to be kind of busy. I'm warning you right now. They're going to be busy.
Did you not hear what I just said?
Well,
no holidays. I know,
but if you're trying to get people, you know, you want to get people who are not with you yet. They're probably eating hot dogs and, you know, blowing off fucking fireworks in their cul-de-sacs and aiming them at people's homes.
Yeah, am I right, everyone? Talk about crazy wasp stings. You know, it would be I feel like if they had come over and they happened to have had some sort of like ointment for you, you'd be like, guess what, guys? I'm a Jehovah's Witness now. It was a sign.
Yeah, maybe. Although I'll tell you, I don't need ointment. And what I discovered today is I'm a really manly guy. I didn't cry. Mm-hmm. You know what I said? God damn it. And then I ran around in circles. And then I got tweezers to try and pull out the little thingy, little stinger thing. And I couldn't reach it because I don't really have flexibility.
You're just going to stay stung.
So then I thought, well, fuck it. It'll come out on its own because I'm a man.
Yeah.
And then
are you still in pain right now?
No. There's a little itch there, but it's not so bad. Considering how big the fucker was, I'm okay. I don't know why I'm still talking about it. My point is I'm just proud of myself.
I'm proud of
you. I was nice to people. And I got stung and feel okay.
Yeah, you're doing great work. I've never been stung by a bee, a wasp, or a hornet. Although there was one time when I was like a kid, I thought there was a mosquito behind me and I reached behind me to like shoot away. And I felt like a little burning sensation. Maybe I had like squished like a little baby bee in my fingers. I'm not sure. It's unconfirmed. But now I'm actually terrified of getting stung because I don't know if I'm going to have an allergic reaction because I have no idea. Like, if I get stung, I want to be in the presence of people who could help me in case I am allergic because I have no idea if I'm allergic. And I'm not, I mean, it seems like a lot to go to an allergist just to find out, but I steer clear as soon as possible. This is a good way to say that, speaking of dangerous stinging things, Real Housewives of Orange County is back. And we're off to a brand new season. What did you think about the season premiere, by the way? And by the way, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
I thought it was fun, and I love that the fashions just get worse and worse on this show. I mean, yeah. The fashions are really terrible on this show. And I'm not a fashion gay. I'm an Old Navy gay. I'm a Marshalls/Old Navy family gay, okay? And even I was like, wow, holy fifth grade catechism, Shannon. What are we doing today? What are we doing?
And also the fact that the last like 20 minutes of the show looked like the finale of Carrie. It was just, everything was red. It was like red, 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 red. I was like, I understand there's some sort of like unspoken Valentine's Day theme going on here, but just like the whole screen was red for an eternity. It was like eternal happiness, but the red version. It was so much. It was hard to look at for me.
It was a lot of red. Valentine's Day does not mean that you need to have red lights shining right on top of you. You
I
make
know.
The whole cast look like hot dogs at the 7-Eleven hot dog stand, you know, that are just rolling in,
they
the,
looked
in the
crazy.
Red light.
And Tamara was trying to dress on theme, but she looked like she was actually dressing for Christmas. It really is actually a fine line between Santa garb and Valentine's garb. And like, she crossed over to the wrong holiday by accident, which I thought was funny.
Yes, and of course Tamara comes back.
I can't believe they've been so mean to me.
It's a victim season for Tamara. Starting
no,
off.
it's a growth. Like, I'm growing. I'm better season. I felt that was all very comforting. Oddly enough, I was like, yes, of course Tamara's having this season. This is the rhythm of Tamara. She has a season where she's loud and she gets into fights. Then she has a season where she's like, I'm learning, I'm growing. And then it goes back. The pendulum swings. And we have the same fights that we always have, which is that you talk about someone while you're in front of them, but not when you're behind their backs. And it's always Gina and Emily leading the charge. Now they've recruited Jen into their army of stirring shit up between the OGs. It's like, in one way, it's very annoying. Like, honestly, like the moment that Emily and Gina and Jen started doing that with Heather and Tamara, I was like, oh God, fuck these ladies. But at the same time, I was like, but this is the natural cadence of this show. This is the rhythm. You know, it's like the sun rises, the sun sets.
Gina's Are you going to get mad at a cow for licking a calf's ear? No, because it's nature.
That's nature. And part of nature is that Gina's going to insert herself into other people's drama and then insist that they confront each other and then do it for them and cause a shit show and then be like, I feel bad.
I feel so bad.
Here we are.
When they had an I feel bad in Gina's first scene, I died.
I could not.
I said, you know what? Thank you, heaven. Thank you for looking out for us.
She even mixed it up. At one point, she even said, I feel badly. I know. Okay.
When she did that, and I felt like part of her was like, don't say I feel bad. Do not say I feel bad. I feel badly.
I'm going to use different. The adverb. I feel bad that I never use the adverb. So I'm going to use the adverb, isn't it?
She said it three times, I think, over the course of the episode, including the badly version, the variant.
Mm-hmm. I feel bad. I just feel bad about it.
I was like, oh my God, Gina.
I feel bad because I don't want anyone to feel bad at the reunion. You know, that's not how people should feel at the reunion.
But I'll tell you one thing. I've got to say, Heather Dubrow, to me, she's the gift that keeps on giving. The way I laugh with every single scene she does, her insistence that she is entering her fun era, her like, I'm relaxed era, and then spends the majority of the episode berating people. Ugh, I love that kind of bullshit.
You know, terrifying. Like,
I am in my fun era.
Yeah. This is
who
fun, Heather.
Who said that I inherited any money? Oh, God. And her mom, oh God, the mom is going to be like, why do we have to wait 20 years to get Heather's mom to be like a big season character? Like, this mom is going to be a nightmare for Heather. I can't wait.
We split up note-taking today. You know, one of us does half the episode and the other does the other half. And I died when I finished and the next scene was Heather and her mother. I was like, oh, Ben. It's like a gift to Ben. You see, the universe is looking out for you.
It is, because it's just like, it's like pseudo waspy Westchester mom daughter. I mean, that's what I was raised around, so it's very exciting for me. And then on top of that, Like, we had a scene, I think, 2 seasons ago where Heather was with her mom. And her mom is just like, her mom is sharp as a tack. Also, 84, shocking. I would have pegged her as being a 62. And her mom is like, she is like the ultimate boss. Like, we always thought Heather Dubrow would be like the final boss. No, the mom is the final boss. And watching Heather go up against her mom, and her mom, like, she's just never going to be able to beat her mom ever. And it's just, yeah, it's going to be such a joy to watch all season long.
It really is. So let's get going. Real Housewives of Orange County, season 20, episode 1. We open with lots of old Housewives clips because it's an anniversary season, okay? We hear lots of like, ooh, I'm the OG of the OC and stuff like that. We see Vicky getting a video call from Gina. This is in regular time, and they tricked us because they're like, look, it's the old days. It's Vicky and her phone getting a call. And you're like, who is it? But then it turns out it's now.
Yeah. The montage was trying to be like, look how so many things have changed and yet so many things have stayed the same. I thought it was like, it was a weird montage. I felt like that. I was hoping for a better, like, look how far we've come montage. Like, the trying to, like, they were kind of melding the past and the present together in a way. I was like, I see what you're doing here. I didn't really feel like they stuck the landing on this, I'm sorry to say.
Well, Gina's still here, so I'll tell you
Gina
that.
Gina is here.
Yes, talk about not sticking landings. Gina Kiao, still here. So she's calling Vicky and also getting the short shrift. I mean, Gina should be on the cast. Why not just bring everybody? Why just bring Vicky?
Yeah. We know that Gina will be sauntering into the show at some point because we saw her in the trailer, but maybe it'll just be for one episode. But I do think that Gina should sort of be lumbering through with her casual, you know, so I saw you were at the supermarket today. How was that going? You know, like, she just sort of like does a little check-in.
Taylor really said something mean to me a few years ago I'd like to discuss. Like, oh, Gina, jeez. So Vicky's like, hey, girl, can't believe it's 20 years. Well, get a job. Burp, burp. Get a job. Get out of traffic. Get out of traffic. It's your better day you drive like that.
Yeah. And then we see lots of clips. We see the kids growing up. We do have that amazing season finale music, which was used in the very first series premiere to great extent. And now is tried to take it up a notch, but I couldn't.
Scores my life.
It's so good. Such good music.
Yeah.
Oh, the finale music. And I love that someone finally put it on YouTube so we can always hear it, you know?
Like, oh, I didn't know.
It's so good. It's so good. Every single
time. Subscribe. Subscriber incoming.
Sometimes I'll just do that.
I'll
just put it on like while I'm doing chores, and I'll just pretend like there's some sort of like words on screen talking about what I'm up to these days. Ben is still cooking in the kitchen, but what he's not cooking is up anyone's bullshit because he's an independent person now. And she's like toasting something. It's so well.
Ronnie wonders, if he cuts his nails in a curved way, will he still get ingrown toenails?
And then there's usually a proclamation of, I'm not happy with how this went, but it's where we're going, and I'm fine with that. And everyone will have to be fine with that, because I have children.
Ronnie got stung by a wasp and visited by Jehovah's Witnesses. Or did he sting Jehovah's Witnesses and get visited by a wasp?
Ben had a bagel this morning, but he's feeling old. See what I did there? W-H-O-L? Eat a bagel?
That was cream cheesy.
It's a great piece of music.
Okay, it's solid. So Vicky's like, can you believe, girl, it's been 20 years. And then we see Vicky's clips, which are surprising Mike at college. He's horrified. When Brianna didn't tell her she was getting married, she just eloped with that gross guy in Vegas. And God hates divorce. God hates divorce. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do with Don? Maybe not cheat on him with some guy at the fucking, you know, convention, the insurance convention named Brooks, allegedly.
Yeah. How about that? Yeah, we see all that stuff. We see the broken bow on the cake. We see, that's my opinion! All the great moments. How far we've come. We saw that famous moment with Gina. Just kidding, there is none. So it was a great little montage.
I love the part where they got to that went,
I feel bad.
So then,
it's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Vicky is telling Gina, she's like, you know what? The last thing I'm going to do now is fight at this time of my life. It's a different Vicky. It's Vicky 20.0. You're going to see a different person this time.
And then we see that she's going to be fighting.
Yeah. Cuts to Vicky. Shut up. I don't care. God hates you.
Yeah, well, Gina, like, leave your phone on, because if I get into a pickle, I'm going to need to call you. Okay.
Well, I mean, that has to be an awfully big pickle. I mean, how small did you get on Ozempic? I mean, a pickle's really, it's like, no, it's an expression, Gina, okay? Pray for me. Lord knows I'm going to be it. I'm going to need the luck. Pray for me.
So then we're in Puerto Vallarta, and Vicky's on the beach with Shannon, stumbling up to her. Just Vicky and Shannon just stumbling all over the place together and falling down and holding on to each other seems half put on, but half totally believable. And I crack up every single time. I don't even care.
Yeah. Normally I would say, oh, they're just doing that intentional wackiness. But in this case, I did believe when they toppled over later in the scene. I was like, I actually do believe that they fell over in that sand. I don't think that they work well in uneven surfaces. So they are sitting together. They've got these two chairs on the beach. Sort of funny. We're celebrating 20 years at Orange County. We start off in a foreign country. But Shannon's like, oh, the beach. How do you walk on this? It's rocks. It's sand. It's infrared. It's ultra. You know, I'm it's X-rays. The sun gives X-rays. It's like a sun MRI too. I am scared. I am melting. Am I even a whole person? Like, okay, all right, Shannon, come down. Just take a seat. Okay. Hello to you too, Grumpy.
Well, here's your pesos back. I went to the bunko.
You would have played bunko? Where'd you find bunko? They don't even call it here. It's not even called. Where's bunko? Show me where bunko.
Bunko!
Oh, the bunko. Oh, so, okay. Yeah, I know where that is. Yeah, right there. Okay. You know what? So, Shannon, what are you going to move down here with me? What are you going to move down?
She's like, well, this is just a flipping vacation. Always sunny, being on a beach.
Have you guys seen where you live? You live where it's always sunny and you're on a beach. Go to Switzerland.
I just wish we had access to coastal experiences. So she's like, you know what? I broke a coffee cup. I didn't even care. Thank you for littering on the beach. Oh, I guess it's in my mind. I'm still waking up. In my mind, I was thinking she had a styrofoam coffee cup and she clenched it and it broke. So she left it on the sand.
No.
She just broke. She dropped a mug. But she had like Usual Suspects moment up in her apartment earlier today, I guess.
And I couldn't tell if she was talking about herself or Shannon, because Shannon's like, oh, well, it's just a flipping vacation. I see a different Vicky here. She goes, yeah, like you broke a coffee cup. I didn't even care. I was like, ooh, is this like Shannon woke up and broke one of Vicky's coffee cups?
Oh,
Vicky
that's what it is.
Stayed calm about it. I couldn't tell. I think so. But Shannon's like, well, you are lighter here. You are lighter here. Yeah, they don't use pounds the same. They don't use pounds the same, thankfully.
It's a metric.
It's a great thing about the country. Different metrics.
Yes, you're right. That is what Vicky was saying. And I just am deranged this morning. I have too much coffee in me. So Vicky is like, yeah, it feels good to
I
be
wrote
back.
The notes.
No.
I'm arguing with my own notes. I'm like, between what I wrote and what I saw, which makes more sense?
No, I'm deranged. And I also watched the show late at night, so who knows what like my brain is doing to me. But we do see Vicky holding up an orange, and she goes, feels good to be back. This is definitely a woohoo moment. I'm definitely different than when I was a housewife. We see a quick clip of her
yelling at the producers, going, really? Fuck off! Slamming the door in their face.
Buying a house in Mexico, best decision, because I don't want them coming here, but I'll go there. I'm like, okay, it's so funny to me, like her political leanings, and then so happy just to be like, oh, best decision I ever made was moving to Mexico. Isn't that great?
Suddenly I love immigration. I love the other way immigration.
Yeah, other here's way Vicky immigration is totally final, fine for her.
Here's a picture of Vicky in her final yelling at the producers thing. I will never forget this picture. Just Vicky, the door is slit open and Vicky screaming, fuck off.
It's a great, horrifying, scary image. Vicky is, then there's like an airplane, like a flying off back to who knows where. And she goes, oh, look, all those poor people are leaving Mexico. Bye, losers. Bye. You have to leave.
She tells us that her and her boyfriend, Mike, live in Cota de Casa. But they also go back and forth between La Quinta and my favorite place on earth, Puerto Vallarta. So, you know what? I got to get my Spanish up because I can't even roll my tongue. Like, they all roll their tongue. Like, how are you supposed to do that?
Oh, well, so can I bring my two dogs down? Can I bring down here? And she's like, no. I don't let dogs down here. No, you can't do that. She's like, oh, well, the dog psychic said Archie needs a brother. So I got him a brother. And she's like, yeah, well, do you do everything that the psychic says? Like, do you need like two big hairy dogs that like eat your passport up? Because that's weird. That's weird.
Well, I got a new passport, so I wouldn't blame Troy for it. Poor Troy. Okay, I got a new dog named Troy. He claws through everything. Even our chews through everything. Even my glass baccarat butterflies.
No, that's... I guess I just attract men who chew through things. Like my heart! Sorry.
You know, the girls are out of the house and I do get lonely. But I go out to dinner with myself and two dogs. So...
I have been known to make a scene at the gastropub and say, Troy, why did you make me eat this short rib with a sugary glaze on it?
What kind of birthday is this, Troy?
Troy's just slowly eating a potato chip, watching her.
But then also her chair leg. So then Vicky's like, oh, wait, hold on. Look, this guy's, look. Okay, hey, can you massage our feet? Yay, thank you. Imagine if those people were just like people just walking on the beach.
That's what I was thinking. You know, Vicky does this to like random passersby on the beach. Hey, you want to wash my feet? You want to wash my feet? Like, fuck no. Lady Jesus, I'm on vacation. Sorry. Jeez, God. You want to wash my feet?
Wait, you do this every day? What? Muy sucio. What? I mean, well, wow, this is, I'm sorry, I've got sand on my feet. Are you still willing to touch me or am I just hideous to you right now? You're willing to touch me. Wow.
This is beautiful. Hold on. Let me take the Sphinx off my feet. I've got three pairs. It's going to be a minute. Wow. Popped one right in the face. Sorry, I warned you.
Let me just take off my sock. I'm just kidding. It's not a sock. It's just a Sara Lee's cheesecake I stepped in earlier. Okay, let me just brush that off.
This is so beautiful, Vicky. Oh, to live like this every day, having strange men rubbing your feet.
And she's like, thank you. I worked hard for it. Yeah. You know, Mike and I argue all the time. He says, where's your identity? What is that? But you know, it works all I've ever known. I still work 10, 12, 15, 30, 90 hours a day sometimes. Really. Yeah. Like all the time. I just can't stop working. I don't believe you. You're on the beach. Like literally sitting here on the beach. I think you're delegating. And good for you. You know, you should be in your retirement and delegating. But she can't let go of the like, I work. All I do is work. These poor feet guy are probably fucking sick of hearing it. Like, lady, I'm rubbing your feet on a beach and you're complaining about work.
I know. I think actually Mike, I think said work is your identity, but I do like him asking a existential question. Where is your identity, Victoria? Like, I don't know. It's at the State Farm office. But also the other thing is that the two of them sitting here on the beach, it kind of reminded me of like Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar a little bit, but it also reminded me of like every movie I've seen where two women get swindled by two handsome con men who are working together. I'm like, 100%. I'm just waiting for them to like come back to Orange County and have only like $3 to their name.
Yes. So then they get their feet done and then they get up and Vicky goes, okay, hey guys, you know what? We'll pay you in a bit. Okay, bye.
No. What?
No, ma'am. Put it on my foot tab? No. No, you better... They should push her down and take her whatever. I don't think she has a purse, but take her flip-flops until she pays you. I don't know, take something.
Yeah, seriously. So Shannon's like, well, the dos amigas are good. It's much better than the tres amigas. Sometimes when we're busy, we don't get to see each other as much. But whenever we do see each other, it's like no time has passed. Now I'm going to pause for laughter at anyone associating me with getting busy. Because I stay at home with my dogs and do nothing. I play Sudoku.
So they're walking on the beach and like leaning on each other and stumbling around. And Vicky's like, oh my God, that's hot. It wasn't hot earlier. Why did I put on my shoes? Oh my God, this hell, hold me up. And they fall down. Are you kidding me right now?
So then we finally go up to Orange County and Heather arrives at a place where you dye scarves. And the guy who's running it, I believe, was our tour guide in Ireland, Ronnie. I was like, is that Brian? Is that Brian who showed us Enya's house? He looked just like him.
I'd love to introduce you to scarves. Now, we don't talk bad about people here, but the English stole the scarves from us and our children.
Bono wore the scarf.
Go back to dyeing the scarves with the blood of our children that the English got. Okay, whoa, can I just make a scarf? Jeez.
My second thought was, how long before we hear a story of you saying that you saw this little workshop and then you brought your nieces to one in Austin and then now you have all sorts of scarves? I was like, this seems like such a Ronnie craft. It looks really fun. It's not a diss. I'm just saying, like, I feel like Ronnie is like already looking up where he could do this scarf activity.
I would do that. I'm not much of a scarf person yet. But you know what? I always said I wasn't a culottes person. Guess what I'm wearing right now? So you never know where age is going to take you.
They're the gateway drug to scarves. No, but I imagine you like dyeing scarves and then like maybe like framing it or something, making it like a wall, some sort of like piece for your wall.
No, that's a good idea, actually. Maybe I will.
Yeah, I would
maybe
do it.
Maybe I will.
Because you know what I loved when I was a kid? I loved spin art when I was a kid. Ugh, it was the best. Get that little piece of paper going really fast. You had the little drops. Ugh, I love the spin. I mean, talk about like, that's how you really know a little boy is gay. He's like, can I play the spin art again?
I still do it. I do the drop. The pour art, you know, where you pull a bunch of paints into a cup and layer them and then you pour it and then you spin the thing around or you tilt it or whatever. I'm really into that. I even watch videos on it where I just watch people pour paint on video. Super fun. Leading a really full life over here.
You know what I also loved when I was a kid? Did you have one of those things where it was almost like a book? But it had like a big circle that was cut out of it. And you put like a disc in the circle, had little shapes in it. And it would do like you put your pen in the shape. It usually be like a circle. And you would draw the circle and would move the whole disc over. And so, but when you were done, you had like a ring of circles or a ring of like little triangle shapes. And you make all these sort of like circular drawings of like patterns. You could not pull me away from that thing.
Well, you just need to open a store. Just figure out a way to transfer that onto women's clothing and you could be Phil, you know?
If it's art and it's circular and it's symmetric, I am in.
Well, I have friends coming to this, Phil, and we were going to be dying scarves. Heather's happy face is so scary. Just her eyes are so intense and she's like, look at me. Happy Heather. Cannot wait to try your scarf dyeing, Phil and wife.
Wow. It's so great because before we donate things to the poor, we're actually going to paint them first.
No, Rita, you don't have to lay down. I didn't mean I was going to paint an actual poor. Painting for the poor.
Painting for the poor. Scarves for the poor. Painted by Heather.
So Gina comes in a trench coat. So I don't know why it was so funny. I just love Gina's new real estate outfits because some of them are so bad. This one was actually really nice, but the brown number that she does her confessionals in is just so, it's not good. It's not good, Gina. Of course it's Gina. So, you know, I don't expect good fashion. I expect the bad fashion so I could just shake my head and smile. Because, you know, Gina's been on here like a decade now. And at this point, it's like, oh, wow, there she is.
There she goes again.
Yeah, here she goes again. Good for her.
Trying for a look. Yeah, she comes in looking like McGruff the crime dog. And she's like, hi, Scoms. Like, and so Heather's like, oh my God, congratulations. Let me see that ring. Hold on. Do we have any magnifying glasses? Does your trench coat have a magnifying glass? Okay, I just need to take a look. What is this? The size of a dissected pea? I can't even see the jewel on it. It's so small and so poor.
Oh my God, I almost forgot I have a ring. I got a ring now. Oh my God, I'm in my engagement era. Well, Gina's ring live and in person. Gorgeous. Gorgeous. I mean, do I think that's a natural lab or a diamond lab? Saw a lot of rainbows. Saw a lot of rainbows.
I am just happy that she found a vending machine that worked for her. So Gina's like,
yeah, Travis, like, what would, like, a designer, like, come up with, like, a prototype? Because, like, there was, like, a possibility, like that I might not like the ring, which means, like, this ring is, like, yeah, this is, like, fake as fuck. It's a prototype ring.
Did I invite you to my party yet? Hearts and heels, right? Hearts and heels. Get it? Hearts, so heels. You're a heel. Heels. A heel with a heart.
I only have one of those things. You have to guess which one. So Gina's like,
yeah, because it's like Valentine's.
I love Gina.
Oh, you get it. Thank God. You get it.
You caught on to this one much better than my Mr. and Mrs. Claus party.
That was for Rosh Hashanah.
It was for Christmas. It was for Christmas. Keep up.
Why don't you celebrate Christmas? Jesus was Jewish.
Just give Gina a moment to think that out.
Heels.
You know what this group heels. Needs? Fun.
What?
And games. That's what we need.
You know what this group needs? Fun and games. And of course, I am the person that should bring it to the masses. Me, Heather DeBro. Heather.
We also
fun bro,
need to,
more like it.
We also need to be reminded who's the richest one here. Okay, and I have a huge party every season where I spend more money than any of you spend on your mortgages.
A giant party that feels oddly empty and tries so hard to be fun and yet still is quite dull. Okay, see you there.
So Tamara comes in. She's like,
ha, 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 ha. Hey, guys, it's awkward, whatever. Well, scarves. It's a fun idea, but I'm not really artistic. I can't write, I can't sing, I can't draw, I can't paint, I can't do nothing. Yeah, none of this works.
So they start doing this this scarf art, and then, of course, Tamara's like,
mine looks like nippers.
And Heather's like, wow, it looks like the wind. What a strange assessment. Wow, she's like the wind.
You know what? I am the wind. I went to Bali, and it turns out I'm the wind.
What does that mean?
That's... I never knew the wind was so poor looking. So Tamara's like,
the only thing that I can think of is that Heather saw this scarf making on TikTok, because this girl is obsessed with TikTok.
No, we see Heather's TikTok. Wow, look at me. I'm on TikTok.
This is almost as exciting as the HD network.
And so Tamara's like, of course she
heard about it on TikTok.
Because it cuts to Heather being like, I saw this on TikTok. Isn't it adorable?
And then the lady who's working there is like, well, nice job with your scars. I'm just going to put them into some Ziplocs. I was like, okay, enjoy that wet Ziploc of fabric. We'll catch you on the mold side. And she's like, by the way, I put a tray of supermarket celery and crudités on the side there on a stool. So enjoy eating it amongst the paint. Like,
this was a very funny Heather snack. She's like, let's have some little snackies. It just cuts to celery. Wow, delicious. This is another Heather event.
Wow, but, so I haven't seen you guys in a while. So Tamara, are you here to burn it down?
here to burn it down. And we see a clip of Jeff Lewis's show where Jeff is like, well, you have a sharp tongue sometimes, Tamara. And she's like, yeah, well, after how they treated me last year, I'm just going to blow things up this time. I'm not, you guys are nothing but friends. Fuck all you guys. I'm going to burn you down. I'm killing everybody this season. I'm going to run you down the street, bitch.
And then it cuts back to Tamara. She's like,
no, that was just a joke. Come on, guys. What are you talking about?
Cheers. Cheers. Sorry, we have to interrupt the story to remind people that I am very fun. Cheers, everyone.
Oh, my God. So, Tamara, that was all just a joke? Because, like, when you say things like no one was there for you, like, I feel bad. Like, because I don't want you.
Direct quote.
I don't, like, want that to be your interpretation of last year when, like, we all took a picture without you and then you were left alone and you were crying. Like, I feel bad that you feel left out of the thing that you were left out of.
I feel bad that you were, like, so upset that we were accusing you of calling bloggers.
Like, hello, do you guys remember the end of last season? I don't think Tamara's, like, Miss Innocent in anything. But you guys jumped on Team Gretchen of all fucking people, that disgusting trash, and then let Slade call with a voice changer to be like, hello, it is me, blogger from the internet. Tamara has been leaking things to me. Ho, ho, ho.
And Heather's like, did you feel that way? Did you feel left out? And Tamara's like,
yes. Because when everybody leaves me, it takes a good picture. And I'm just sitting there, left to do nothing but call the bloggers. How do you think that makes me feel?
Well, when we're taking a picture, I have no idea what's happening because I'm only thinking about myself. But, you know, sorry if that hurt you. And Tamara's like,
well, I was just sitting there on the couch. That's Grandma. And then you guys, you went to dinner with Gretchen. I mean, well.
Then Heather does that thing bad. Where she goes, I invited you to dinner. I invited you. I did.
She's like, no, they didn't. Gina asked me, she's like, hey, stupid, you got to dinner and nobody wants you. And I thought, I didn't even know there was a dinner. make no mistake, bitch. I know exactly who Heather DeBrow is. This last year has been really difficult with our friendship. Her actions are different than her words.
I mean, Tamara of all people saying that.
I, Heather Dubrow, have never been an exclusive person. Ever.
I always say, okay. Come one, come all. Anyone can work in my house. Give me your tired, your poor, and I will give you a mop and a vacuum. I include everyone on my staff.
I'm not exclusive. I only have 3 gates before you get to the main gate, before you have to go underground, then cross a river of fire and over a gullet full of snapping alligators to get into my home. Me, exclusive. Stop.
Very open person. Just me, television's Heather Dubrow, one of the people. And I love how she is, I love whenever she talks about Jeff Lewis, because she's always like, but then you went on that radio show and you put me in a bucket. Bucket as all of them. This episode is all about buckets and boxes, I'd like to point out, because she's like, you put me in a bucket. And later on, it's like, I put her in a box. So it's really about like what you can find in Home Depot and put people into.
And also being lighter. Everybody's lighter. Mm. They keep telling each other, oh my God, you're so much lighter. I'm so much lighter this year. So she hates Jeff because Jeff was at a filming of this show years ago and then went on to say, like, Heather Dubrow's mean to waiters. And I won't stand for it because I was a waiter one time. And I will not stand for people being mean to waiters. And ever since then, it's been nonstop between those two crazy kids. So she's like, wow, so not only do you shit talk me, you shit talk me on that show. And Heather's like, Tamara's like,
fine, do you want to be in the bucket? And take me out of the bucket.
And she like throws a paintbrush across the room.
I want to be out of the bucket too. I feel bad that I'm in the bucket. Can I sell the bucket? It's like I'm a realtor now.
Okay, fine, you're out of the bucket too. I'll throw another paintbrush. Sorry, Rita. But you know what? You want to be a cauliflower or a broccoli or whatever? We can just stop talking about what's in buckets and stop talking about what's on this stupid snack plate. Who wants to eat broccoli?
Let's not lump everyone together. That's what I'm trying to say. I am not an exclusive person. However, I do not want to be associated with other people who are poorer than me. Do you understand?
But Tamara, like, I'm like really sad that you felt bad at the reunion. So, like, I'm really sorry. Like, I'm really sorry you felt bad.
And she goes, oh, you know what?
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's all I wanted to hear. Thank you. Thank you, Gina. You know, I always love Gina. Because Gina's just such a good person at the core. That's just really stupid. Heaven's gal, but about Gina. I always get Gina, which is a lot. Me and Gina is just a lot.
Congratulations, Gina. You have been officially selected for Team Tamara this season. Your recruitment has already begun.
And she'll be so easy, too.
Of course.
So Gina asked what happened at this girls trip, because Gina and Emily, of course, were left out of the ultimate girls trip filming, which LOL. They've only been housewives for 10 years. I just get completely left out.
It's so good. And she's like, what happened? And Heather's like, it was bad. This happened everything happened at the Quiet Woman. And so we see, like, the Quiet Woman. And Tamara's like,
the not-so-quiet woman.
So she says,
we were filming for the Ultimate Girls Trip. And there was, like, a sit-down dinner. And all these conversations were going on at once. Huh. And I will jump in and take it from here. And Tamara was trying to stir the pot. And I had a question about my inability to, quote-unquote, move on. I mean, what? I can't move on? Like, suddenly she's acting like David, the way he would always be like, you can't move on. And I'm sitting there being the devoted wife of his children, and he's out there talking to some slut on the beach, and now you're going to tell me that I can't move on from things in the past? I hardly believe it. Let me tell you about John Jansen.
Yeah, and then I got mad, and I said, I don't know, something about like not being able to keep a man in a house. Whoops.
Whoops.
And I lost it, and I said, no, you're the drunk.
Not very sweet of me, I guess. Well, I will tell you this. It was very embarrassing. And some of the wives were saying how horrified they were. They'd never seen anything like that.
And Tamara just starts cracking
but
up.
But enough about please. Wendy Malick's audition reels.
Because please, all the housewives, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Like, oh my god, no, that was so horrifying. We're real housewives. We should really hold ourselves to higher standards.
I guarantee no one was horrified. They were all very happy. So Heather's like, there was a lot of talk, and I just don't understand why we had to go there.
And whatever, it's done. It's between me and Shannon. It's done. Shut up, stupid. It's over. I'm a new person now. You know what? I'm a new person since then.
But it kind of affects all of us.
Okay, well, you know what? Shannon and I are a problem. That's why she shouldn't be on the show anymore.
You know what? Bitch, looking back, I had regrets about what happened at the Quiet Woman, bitch. And I was just up here with, like, the things that she had done to me and said about me and the video she put out about me.
And then we see one of these incriminating videos where Shannon is clearly tipsy. She's like,
I don't hold the girls, Tamara Judge. I feel with you. I laugh with you. I am on a trip while you pack the book called How to Not Be a Miserable Cow.
Well, I'm trying to get away from all that because I want to be a big girl like Shannon.
So then Gina's like,
well, but like, you have to like come to a point where like you understand that you're probably not going to get the apology you're looking for and like move the fuck on. And I'm going to help you by probably undermining any attempts that you guys make to become friends again.
But you know me, though. You know my whole thing. I just want to make things good with people.
Like, yeah. That's our whole thing.
Am I making an excuse for calling her an alcoholic? No, who needs one? She's an alcoholic. That's just me being pissed off, guys. Sorry. Sorry, I'll go back to pretending she's not an alcoholic if that makes everybody feel okay.
Tamara feels lighter, different, and she seems to be listening. I base that on really nothing. She just held that cauliflower in such a way that I was like, maybe I take her out of the bucket and put her in the box.
So they've all decided they like Tamara again. And the question is, how are Shannon and Tamara going to be at Heather's Hearts and Poor People party? Dun, dun, dun.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Oh, back
to Mexico. Viva Mexico.
I am a little concerned that my feet may have a parasite from all that rubbing on the sand. The sand could get into your pores and then the amputation's next.
So Vicky and Shannon head over to Andale's, and as they get out of the car, Vicky's like, do you have an extra padded bra on? She's like, oh my gosh, are they too high? Ah, oh, now you're making me paranoid about my breasts. Thanks a lot.
Well, I've been struggling with my knee because I had this new trainer and he put too much weight on it. And like, now then my right knee just like popped. It went flat, flat,
flat. And so basically now she's hobbling.
Just, everywhere these two go together, they're just hobbling in, limping in, you know, one's boobs are popping out of their double spanks or whatever. So they come in and it's Andale's. And of course, Vicky knows everybody in Andale's. She even knows the donkey. It's the literal donkey in Andale's. And the lady with the donkey is like, don't worry, he's not abused at all. Okay. Very happy donkey, everybody. Don't get upset, TV audience.
Yeah, it doesn't want to even be in a pasture right now. It's like, I want to be in a crowded bar with drunk people pouring beers on my head. This is the dream.
The donkey's like, can I get a chip refill? Am I right? So Vicky's like, oh, they love me at Andale's. People go there, they ask for me, even when I'm not there. Yeah, I wanted to be part of the business, but they said, ha,
we're doing fine without you.
Oh, really? Who do you think put you on the map?
They ask for me whenever I'm not there. I'm like, here's what the question is. Is that crazy fucking lady gonna be here again tonight, or can I drink in peace?
Is that lady and her husband who keep asking me to come home with them gonna be here? Just want to make sure.
And then a man who is the composite of every man that Vicky has ever dated walks up, and his name is Mike. And Shannon's like, oh, you guys are great together. The way you can stand next to each other and smile sort of in the same direction. That's just the chemistry. It's just amazing. And he's like, yeah, he could do his thing. I could do my thing. Like, we have a great relationship.
Well, let me tell you, Mike fills my emotional love tank. Woohoo. And she tells us that finally she's 64 and she's in a good place in her life. And Shannon's like, oh, you're going to love being back in Orange County. You'll enjoy Gina and Emily this time, I promise. And she's like, bleh, bleh. Oh, and the kindness of Jen Petranti. What a kind, stupid person. You're just going to love her.
She's just really dumb as rocks. It's just like you might as well just put her in a glass and add some vodka on top of her because it is just rocks. Pure rocks. Mm.
So now, speaking of which, we see Jen and Emily going to dinner. And Jen telling us, I adore Emily. I would have never envisioned us being close, but here we are. And
then we see clips of Emily being like, you're poor! Just admit you're poor. Nobody believes you've got a fucking Rolex, okay? God, you don't even have a house.
This makes me so sad, seeing Jen getting sucked down into the Emily and Gina alliance. So Emily orders a bowl of chicken because Emily is trimmed up this season and she's all about fitness. And she says, when I was dealing with everything going on with Luke, I wasn't taking care of myself, and I can't be a good mom if I'm not healthy. So basically what I said is, I give up. I'm just going to go to the gym now.
Luke is still in question, but you can bounce a quarter off my ass. That's what's important.
So they talk about kids, and Emily says, Luke, they did do that brain scanning thing or whatever they were doing last year to help brain swelling, but that didn't do anything. But they did transfer schools, and the new school is helping him learn better and stuff. And then they talk about how much easier it was when their kids were younger and they could just leave them with a nanny. And Jen's like, tell me about it. You know, my son Grayson, he got pulled over, and guess how fast he was going. Mm-hmm. 105 miles per hour. It is crazy. Can you believe that, Emily? Can you believe it?
I can't believe someone who is raised with Ryan and painted denim would wind up going speeding down a highway in Orange County. So then Jen is like, it's just like so out of character for Grayson. I mean, I thought when he got that 80s haircut, like for sure he would be driving at a normal speed. But I don't know, it made me wonder, is there something else going on? That's not who he is.
So Emily's like, yeah, well, when I need advice, I call Heather, because Heather's just the mother, you know, she's the mother of the group. Like, she's really just great at giving love to everybody, right?
She's just great. And this is the point where I'm contractually obligated to say some great stuff about Heather before I destroy her for the rest of the season.
Have you talked to Tamara? I'm just still so mad at Tamara. And then we cut back to Vicky and Shannon, and Vicky's like, come on, Tracy B. Gus, what are we going to get back? Come on. Shannon's like, well, I don't know. Last I heard, she likes who she is and doesn't need therapy. Ooh, ooh, nope.
Well, why does she like sushi?
No, I said she likes who she is.
Well, I'm an empath. I'm an empath for people who like sushi. Yeah, Vicky.
You're an empath, Vicky. Every narcissist on Bravo says this. I'm an empath.
I know. Kristen, Vicky, many more.
I'm an empath. Yeah. And like, I see sides of both. Like, I famously am like such an empath. That's why when I saw those people in the plane flying away, I said, suck it, losers. But like when Tamara texts me and she's like, I want to see you again. Like, I can't wait to hang out. Like, my empath starts going off because I'm super empath-y.
No, really. But my question is, do you even believe her? Because she's a kind of phony. Nope. I said it.
What do you mean? When did she start riding ponies?
Come on, Vicky.
You can't make sushi out of ponies.
No, I've never said that.
When Tamara and I stopped talking, it wasn't because of anything she did to me. It was just like she was innately just a terrible person. And we see like videos of them and like over the years.
We see Vicky on her podcast saying, Tamara, oh, yeah. You gave birth to your daughter. Like, you had words. Go apologize and move on.
And so then
no, we have to say, I'm sorry.
Tamara's response.
The Tamara post-surgery. Oh my God. So Tamara makes it like an Instagram video telling off Vicky, but it's when she had just gotten she looks like King Aegon from House of the Dragon after he gets burned on his dragon. her face is just literally burned. Tamara does not give a fuck, is what I'll say. Because she literally is Freddy Krueger. And she's like, you know what? I'm mad.
I'm going to TikTok, bitch.
Yeah, she
sometimes
really
it's okay to put down the phone. You know what I mean? Like, recover.
Yeah, she definitely did look like that king. Like, bend the knee, batch. So Vicky's like, yeah, like, but then I had sepsis at the brain and I look at that differently. What I'm trying to say is Tamara's like a lot more tolerable after you've had brain damage.
This show cracks me up. It cuts from Tamara looking absolutely crisped, like she's burned to a crisp, fighting with someone on TikTok, to cutting to Vicky going,
yeah, but I had sepsis in the brain. So, you know, I'm different now. I'm a different person now. Sepsis in the brain really, really, really changes you.
I'm not going to get in the weeds with this stuff.
Wait, there's weeds? How do they have weeds inside a bar?
See, now you can't hear. So then we go to Emily and Jen, back to them. And Emily's like, by the way, I saw Tamara at BravoCon and said hi, and she was pissed at me. And I'm like, why are you pissed at me when the last time we saw you, it was at the reunion and you should have my podcast? I'm like,
oh, okay. Emily trying to out-victim somebody. Emily, you literally put her up for calling bloggers and did all those fakey scenes to be on Team Gretchen. Whatever. So she dissed your podcast. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Who cares? So then, come on.
Kelly Dodd's like, who cares? So Jen is like,
well, I was talking to Heather about the Tamara thing. And I said, I love the forward thing in our relationship. But the hang up with me is like, do you just like not have a boundary?
And we see, you know, this was a thing from last year. And for a few years, where we're always like, why is she always so nice to Tamara? Tamara's so mean to her. Why is she so nice to her? So I've felt this way for a long time. However, I feel like it's one thing if it's coming from us, but when it's like now Jen and Emily raising this topic, I'm like, no, because you guys are hypocrites too. We as the audience can raise this. Like, why do you have such a blind spot for this person who undermines you time and time again? But you guys are underminers too. And you guys have flip-flopped too. And don't think we didn't notice or remember Emily spending like an entire season or two teaming up with Tamara to take out Katie Janella initially, you know? So now Emily being like, yeah, she has a blind spot for Tamara. I'm like, do you not remember the show that you've been on for the past few years?
Yeah, you're all going to end up kissing Tamara's butt. Whatever. So Jen's like, yeah, you know, that thing with Heather, that really bothers me, you know, but I asked her and she said her friendship with Tamara is genuine. And we cut to a scene of Heather going, my friendship with Tamara is absolutely genuine. Hate the bitch. Okay. And Emily's like, do you believe that though? It's like, I don't know. I really don't. Because, you know, last year after the reunion, we went to dinner. Oh my God. Thank you so much, restaurants. I really, really enjoyed that dinner. And, you know, we were talking about Tamara and Heather was really leading the charge on Tamara being a terrible person. So I'm not really sure what's going on now because then the very next day she called Tamara to check on her. It's called shit talking. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. I shit talk people. I love them all the time. But
yeah.
Not allowed to. It's nicer than being like, you're an asshole to their face. You're supposed to say it behind their back.
Yeah, exactly. Heather, like, to me, I get it. I do like when Heather stands up to Tamara. You know, it is frustrating when Tamara does things that actively undermine Heather and Heather just like rolls with it. But that being said, they do go back a long time. And I think her vibe is kind of like, look, Tamara can be real garbage, but I love my garbage. But I also have to vent. I have to vent about her. Otherwise I'm never going to be able to like deal with her. So she's like, I put her in a box. She's just like different. She's Tamara. She's not going anywhere. So I'm figuring out ways to cope with it, you know?
But well, and like, Heather also looks at it as like work friends, you know? She's like, well, you got to work with somebody. So, you know, I'm always going to be nice the next day, even if I'm mad. Because remember when Heather came back to the show and a big complaint from the people still on the show were like,
you just dumped me the second that you weren't on the show anymore. She's like,
right.
Well, I didn't really consider that dumping you. It's just, you know, I was limiting my calls to a certain price bracket.
I was speaking to my friends who have the winery. I think, I forgot what I was going to say, but yeah, the thing is this, they're all two-faced. If you think that any of these people do not talk shit about anyone else, it's wild. They all talk shit about Tamara. Tamara terrorizes all of them. And then they're nice to her. So I don't know. I just think it's like, I think that they are, if you told me that after that reunion, Heather was the only person talking shit about Tamara, I would say you are full of poppycock. Because they all were clearly talking about Tamara at that reunion, at that dinner. Like, how could you not be talking about Tamara? Tamara was, you know, Tamara's Tamara. And so they're all there. They're being like, can you believe this? Can you believe that? Can you believe this? And now they're going to be like, well, Heather was the one who led the charge on it. I just don't believe. I believe Heather participated as much as everyone else did. But they're just going to basically hang Heather out to dry. They're probably worried that it's going to get out, that they talked shit. They all know that someone's going to narc. It's probably going to be Gina. They all know news is going to get out. Like, so-and-so was saying this about you. So-and-so was saying this about you. So they're like, you know what? Let's put it all on Heather. So that way, she's the one who deals with Tamara's wrath.
Well, there also, if you remember at the end of last season, everybody was anti-Tamara. I mean, it was like a really go-getter thing. And then Tamara was teamed up with Katie Janella, you know, because she realized the whole cast was against her. So she teamed up with Katie Janella, but then she lost that one because Katie was fired. And then, you know, she's left on her own. So they're like, okay, we finally got rid of Tamara, but she's back. So why the fuck are you still filming with Tamara? It's like we all ganged up to get rid of Tamara. And now you're still like keeping Tamara in the circle, I think. And, you know, guys, she doesn't hire and fire. It's like she's hired on the show. Deal with it. No one wants to watch Jen mope around with her 11 dogs, you know, and troubled children for the whole season. And Emily, you know, talking about protein and Gina trying to find any piece of rayon that doesn't fit her properly. Like, we need more. Okay. You need Tamara. So just get over it.
Yeah. So then, so Jen's talking about how Heather was leading the charge and she goes, you know, at some point Heather just needs to say enough. Am I the only one that feels that way? So now we go back to Tamara and she's with, Sophia and Eddie and they're doing stuff around the kitchen and everything. And, Tamara's asking if Sophia uses an iron and she's like, for my hair? She's like,
no, for your clothes, bitch.
So, well, I just spat so much all over my entire computer doing that.
So we find out that Sophia decided not to go to music school because she doesn't want to go to LA. So she's going to go to school locally and Tamara's going to get in her apartment. And then we go to Emily's where we see Annabelle still being a terrorist She's like, Annabelle, do your laundry. She's like, you do your laundry. She's like, Annabelle, let's do a load.
You do a load.
Yeah. Good luck. Good luck with that. So then we go to Jen and we see the kids that are there. And Jen's like, Grayson, we got a ticket in the mail. Were you here when Dawson was here laughing about it? And Grayson's like, how many times has he been pulled over? Am I right? And so we see that Dawson's still in the Marines, hasn't fainted recently. And Harrison graduated with an engineering degree. And Evie is growing up. The kids are all right, except for one of them is speeding.
Except for the one who's speeding. Oh, my God. When she goes, Evie's becoming a woman. And then she says, I mean, we've had fights on how to put a tampon in 10 times.
Not the ear, Evie. Not the ear.
What an odd fight.
And then she's like, oh, and
Dominic's. Could you please not use the kitchen tongs? Evie. And as of course, as a man, I'm like, what is a tampon fight about? You know, I'm just imagining all kinds of things. So she's like, do you know how much that ticket was, young man? He's like, what, 500? It's like 700. There's not enough in and out in the world for you to sell to make up for that ticket. And Ryan's just smiling with his, you know, crazy spray tan. He's like, oh, yeah, it's my boy speeding. Yeah.
And now we have Wacky Shannon walking down the street with her two dogs. There's like a sign up on the sidewalk that says Mahjong or is my Valentine or something like that.
Mahjong is my Valentine.
Yeah. So she's like, oh, this will be a great photo opportunity. So she like gets her two golden retrievers to sort of pose in front of it, but she's having trouble and she's like just trying to get them to sit.
So Wacky Shannon, like, whoa, sit like, down. Whoa, now you sit. Where are you running to? Mahjong is my Valentine. Being pulled down the street. And then we see that there's a sign that says, please keep dogs off the grass as she keeps trying to put the dogs on the grass.
Maybe we need more dogs. Can we get some more dogs here to help with the photo? Thank you.
So she talks to Stella a little bit, who's still in Paris, and talks about how she's so proud of her kids. But, you know, I am kind of lonely, but living in Corona del Mar is what makes me happy. Now watch me place my dogs in front of this sign. God, they won't sit. Okay, I'm going to go get my dog's dog ice cream. Some dog ice cream. Oh, God, it fell on the sidewalk. Please don't eat off the sidewalk. You're going to get parasites. Oh, he's eating off the sidewalk.
Was that what that was? I was so confused because it looked like Shannon was getting a like whipped cream in a cone. And I was like, was this for the dog or is this like Shannon's locale dessert?
I think it was like an ice cream place where they give you the doggy cone and they're like, oh, you know, here's some little whipped cream. You know how you can get that at Starbucks?
Oh, yeah. I was like, not totally. I just couldn't tell if this was like something, if this was like a pet oriented thing or like Shannon was like,
can I get some whipped cream on a cone, please? Thank you very much.
Which then doesn't matter because she drops it on the sidewalk anyway because Troy is like a nightmare.
Yeah. So then we go to Vicky, who's still in Mexico, and here's Brother Billy. He's like, hey, what are you drinking milk out of the cart, Billy? That is disgusting. He's like, it's my milk. I'm drinking out of the cart. And I want you. Oh, God, you brought your milk from Florida. Jeez.
Did he really bring his milk from Florida? Oh, Jesus.
Billy not trusting Mexican milk. He's like, I'm not trusting. I'm going to bring mine in my suitcase. By the way, Billy, I saw you at a massage parlor last night. You cannot prove a thing. I saw your location. It was a massage parlor. And it was 1:30 in the morning. Those are dirty massages, Billy. He's like,
family is important to me. And it's important for me to tell all of America when they're getting handies at a massage parlor. You know, nuclear family, that is. And so she's like, you need a woman in your life. I like
that she specified that. It seemed weird because she goes, family's everything to me. Nuclear family.
You need a woman in your life. I'm like, Vicky, I'm starting to think that that's not really in the cards. It's like, Billy leads a bachelor lifestyle. It's almost confirmed. And I worry that Michael is going to do more of the same. Like, never marry. Like, never have kids. And like, because Billy's happy and he's doing good. But I'm like, oh, God. And we see, by the way, a picture of Michael. It says, Michael, 40. I was like, I'm like, what? Michael is 40. I don't know. I don't know what life is anymore. How is Michael 40?
It was cracking me up that she says, oh, God, Billy just needs to find a woman. Where is he going to find a woman? Okay. anybody looking for a guy getting jerked off in Mexican massage parlors who's drinking milk that he brought in his backpack from Florida? No. Just get ready to pay for Billy's vacation for the rest of your life.
Hey everyone, this is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS, we love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher. Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with K. Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.